The Old Testament reading comes from Ezekiel chapter 17. Thus says the Lord God, I myself will take a sprig from the lofty top of the cedar and will set it out. I will break off from the topmost of its young twigs a tender one, and I myself will plant it on a high and lofty mountain. On the mountain height of Israel I will plant it, that it may bear branches and produce fruit and become a noble cedar. And under it will dwell every kind of bird. In the shade of its branches, birds of every sort will nest. And all the trees of the field shall know that I am the Lord. I bring low the high tree and make high the low tree, dry up the green tree and make the dry tree flourish. I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle lesson comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We know that if the tent, which is our earthly home, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling, if indeed by putting it on we may not be found naked. For while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. This is the word of the Lord. Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 4th chapter. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. When the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. And he said, with what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable shall we use for it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when sown on the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on the earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants, and puts out large branches, so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. With many such parables, he spoke the word to them, as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them without parable, but privately to his own disciples, he explained everything. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. If you get me in the right mood, I just might joke around that the best job I ever had was working at Burger King. Let me expand on that a little bit. The start and stop times were fixed. Overtime was not something you needed to worry about. The sum total of the job could be learned in a single day, and you just kept doing it. Let me tell you, by the end of that run, nobody made a better Whopper than I did. Mine were commercial worthy every time. Not the best burger, but that was the raw ingredients' fault. And probably what sealed it is you could work the 11 to 2 o'clock shift, including the lunch rush, and when you punched out and took your meal home with you, you had served on a slow day 80 and on a fast day 160 people, and the vast majority of them liked what they were eating. Again, it wasn't a 3-star Michelin place, or it wasn't even Five Guys. But you walk into Burger King, and you know what you were going to get. And if it's hot and it's fast, and you changed the oil in the morning so that the fryers didn't give you bad fries, it's the best meal for $5 you'll ever get. Not thinking about that job, just doing it. The feedback and the quality was immediate. You had smiles or you had frowns. You had full garbage bins or you had Whoppers coming back telling you that you put ketchup on that no ketchup order and they messed up having it your way. As I say to my kids sometimes, no brains, no headaches. Of course, the downside of Burger King was that it paid $5.75 an hour when I had it. As we get older, the trade-offs for more money are more time and responsibility. Instead of 3 or 5 or even 8 hours, many of us are on call all the time. Instead of known and knowable standards of excellence, the standards either become unknowable or the real standards are not tied to the job description. I used to joke about my role at IBM that they didn't want me to actually be a forecaster, which was directly in the title at one point. But instead, I was getting paid to lie to them convincingly. The job actually was to come up with work items that would keep other teams busy and that might, if done, improve the forecast. But more importantly, they need to be work items that sounded reasonable, but that nobody was probably ever going to do, building in a nice excuse for our team. And in very few jobs that pay enough to actually be an adult, do you ever get that sense of satisfaction at the end of a lunch shift of seeing the harvest? The Gospel of Mark has some of the great one-offs to ponder. Like last week's Blessed Virgin Mary calling Jesus nuts. And the parable this week. Every gospel has the mustard seed, and it's somewhat immediately understandable. This is early in the ministry of Jesus. It's the first year. He's in Galilee. And he's drawing large crowds, but where is this going? There are lots of things that work in the hinterlands or work when small, but don't necessarily scale up. But the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. Start small. Just Jesus. Then 12 disciples. Then the 70 or 72 apostles. But wait, you'll see, it grows. But the first parable is not that simple encouragement to patience and perseverance. The first parable is almost pure mysticism on the work of the gospel and on who God is. What is the kingdom of God like? It's as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. The man doesn't till or prepare the ground. The man doesn't scout out good ground. The man doesn't correctly align the seed. The man doesn't make sure that he's got the right hybrid for the right environment. None of the quality control, none of the commitment to excellence that I had on that Whopper board. None of those process management software or yield control. The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. Wherever he's walking, there is where he scatters seed. The guy who just goes and scatters seed, he sleeps and rises night and day. No sleepless nights worrying about how he's paying that next bill. No ulcers on this quarter's numbers being low. No headaches trying to figure out how to cover your own rear. Given how slipshod a job he seemed to have done up front, I would figure that he'd be putting in overtime, figuring out how to massage the outcomes. We all know that guy whose real job was simply managing the reputation. But no, this guy sleeps and rises daily. And guess what? It seems to work. The most amazing line of the parable, the earth produces by itself. And you can watch it. First the blade, then the ear, and then the full grain in it. Our guy's not out watering. He's not spreading fertilizer. He's just watching. And like the duck and the dog in the story of the little red hen, what is he watching for? He's watching for that little red hen to have produced all the bread. When the grain is ripe, he at once goes in and puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. This man gets the harvest. The kingdom of God appears to be nothing like our typical work. And it isn't. The first part of what I'd encourage you to think about is whenever Jesus tells a parable with an anonymous man doing something, that person should probably be first read as Jesus himself. Our experience of the kingdom of God is that we hear it. Jesus was the first apostle or sent one. He was sent into this world by his Father. And he accomplished everything that was needed to establish the kingdom. He was incarnate of the Virgin Mary, crucified under Pontius Pilate, and he rose from the dead and ascended to the right hand of the Father. He then sent his 12, and he sent the 70, and he's sent many more since then. And most importantly, he's poured out his Holy Spirit into this world. He sent all of these things to do one thing: proclaim the gospel. Jesus paid it. Your sins are forgiven. God loves you and wants to live at peace with you. Repent and believe. We hear the proclamation. And that proclamation has been sent out everywhere, to the ends of the earth. That's the point of the book of Acts, in fact. The gospel reaches the ends when it's reached the heart of the world. A gospel that starts on the periphery moves to the center of the world when it gets to the Rome. And it's been proclaimed ever since. That is the seed that's just thrown everywhere. And that seed of the gospel will produce a harvest. God sometimes seems asleep and he sometimes seems awake. Sometimes we call out for miracles and revival and deliverance and it seems dry. At other times, build cathedrals and are full of miracles. And it seems like God has poured down on them. But what the parable says is it really doesn't matter. The seed sprouts and grows. The earth produces. We don't know how. We often like to think that we do. But the conversion, the growth, is the work of the Holy Spirit. We'd like to have the Spirit in a box. We'd like to have the exact hours of the Spirit's operation. He witnesses his 3-hour shift. I want that. We'd like to have the Spirit's exact standards of spiritual excellence. But we don't. And the Spirit still does his work. We don't. It's his. And his work produces a harvest. It produces exactly the harvest that God intended. That's God's work in us. There's no work in the parable because Jesus does the work of the kingdom. He has done it. In fact, his work, as he said, is finished. Everything that we experience is just that playing out of the plan of God. The Spirit bringing it all to completion. But there are things in that parable that I think that we are encouraged to experience. The simple seed of the gospel in your hearing is going to grow. Whether you are feeling the presence of Christ or his absence, day or night, sleeping or rising, the seed grows. We don't like that. We'd rather always be in the light. We'd rather always have it be day. But both of them are out for our good. We need those rhythms of the spiritual life to grow. And it would seem to be fruitful for pondering, to occasionally to think where we are in that life, to sit with Christ and watch the growth. Are we a blade or a full ear, or are we somewhere in between? Farming is a cyclical thing, and that spiritual life often is as well. Seasons of growth, and seasons of harvest. But one of the big morals I think we might ponder here is that the man gets the seed to sow from those seasons of fruitful grain. The growth, not our job. The harvest, not our job. But what is our job is being open to sharing the seed that we have produced. What has God given to us? What blessings and graces has he showered on us? That seed, all these we're called to share. Sowing seed in an imitation of Christ. The last bit that I want you to think about. Those cyclical images of planting and harvesting and even growth might seem at odds with the linear story of the kingdom that we normally tell. That mustard seed is more linear in that it only talks of the growth of that one mustard plant from small to big. But every action in the kingdom of God in this parable is moving towards something. The sowing of the seed is moving towards the harvest. The earth producing step by step is moving towards the full mature grain. There's something in all of us that is yearning for its fulfillment, that is yearning to be made full. And I can short-circuit your pondering and tell you that that is Jesus, that we are daily growing up into the fullness of Christ. But each of us grows in our own way. There is a time of planting and a time of harvest, but now is that time of growth. Like all plants do, we grow towards the light that is given. Find out what that fulfillment is in your season. Find out what that fulfillment is in every season. And grow. Grow towards that light. Grow so that the full grain is in the ear at the harvest. Amen.